Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. My name is Robert Morrison. I am a contributor at NinerNoise.com. And here with me is, nobody. It's just me. It's been nice to have been back over the last couple of weeks to be able to talk with Associate Editor Peter Panacy, but he's out this week for various reasons. And man, what a week for him to miss. Just an incredible, absolutely unthinkable, like, how in the world did we get here type of thing. The San Francisco 49ers defeat the Green Bay Packers in frigid, absolutely frigid, snowy, icy. It looked miserable out there. Lambeau Field, 13-10, punching their ticket to the NFC Championship game, where they'll play the Los Angeles Rams for the third time this season. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit, but this was a truly, truly bizarre game. In so many different ways. I think I tweeted out at one point during the game, and this is an annoying feature of a podcast when people do this, but nonetheless, I'm going to say it, that if I didn't care about this game, I probably would have turned it off. It was just, in the middle of the game, I was just like, nothing is happening here. The Packers started off the game, came roaring out the gates, scored an opening, their opening touchdown, what would turn out to be their only offensive, their only touchdown of the game, offensive or defense or otherwise, about 5 minutes into the game. And then they ended up scoring 3 points for the rest of the contest for the next 55 minutes. The Niners defense looked a little bit out of sorts for the first drive and a half or so. Then they forced a fumble on the second drive, and they were relentless from there on out. It was a weird thing to watch. And then, as the Niners offense is sputtering and sputtering and sputtering and not doing anything, they, couldn't complete any passes. And there were drops, notably from George Kittle. Debo Samuel had one that was on an awkward ball, but he couldn't pull it in. Jawan Jennings had one. Brandon Ayuk didn't end up catching any passes on the day. The one that he came closest to was a drop on his only target, and it ended up being an incomplete pass, but was very nearly a fumble on the play. So it was just kind of an ugly, ugly, ugly game. As the weather got worse, it became harder and harder for teams to really get it, for either team to get anything done. But in the end, the Niners offense did enough when they needed to, which was on the final drive of the game, to put themselves in field goal range to end up winning the game. But it came down to a more bizarre thing. If you've been listening and paying attention to the podcast throughout this year, we've talked a little bit about the struggles that the Niners have had on special teams, both in the return game, which has been kind of at best, and in the kick coverage game, where they've had some real struggles. A couple of weeks ago, they had a a situation where they lost their punter, Mitch Wisnowski, for the game because of such a special teams gaffe where he had to come in and make a tackle, and he got speared, and he went out with a concussion for the rest of the game. And, you know, other little mishaps here and there on special teams have led to issues throughout the year. Now, the good news is, of course, that the Green Bay Packers were one of the very few teams that have had worse special teams units than the 49ers this year. Per DVOA, they were the last ranked team in the NFL this year on special teams. Again, similar kind of thing. Just, you know, it's not all missing kicks and poor punting. It's mostly poor coverage and all that kind of thing. And those things came back to bite them specifically at the end of each half, really. The very end of the second half, they finally were starting to look like they were going to move. They're going to put themselves in a position to get a field goal to go up 10-0 at halftime. But they got into field goal range, and the Packers had a mix up in their blocking scheme up front, which is, it just seems pretty simple, right? Just block the guy in front of you on a kicking situation. Jimmy Ward slices in and knocks the kick down, and it's only 7-0 at halftime, in spite of the fact that the Niners offense was doing absolutely nothing in the first half. And the Packers had looked at stretches like they were going to be dangerous to do something. And then they went in for halftime and they came out, and it was just, the weather was always already cold, but now it was snowing. It was ridiculous. It was starting to coat the field a little bit. It had to have been a very slippery and uncomfortable situation to be in. But yet they had to go out and play the second half. Niners immediately got the ball after having deferred, got a field goal to cut it to 7-3. And then there was nothing again for a really long time. The Packers did end up getting a field goal early in the fourth quarter to raise the deficit to 10-3. And at that point, honestly, in my head, that was the moment I was like, I think this might be how the season goes out. And on some levels it would have felt appropriate, right? Kind of go out with a whimper. This season's been so up and down. We were talking early in the year about whether or not this was even a good football team. And so on some levels it was like, yeah, this is kind of how it should go. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo sort of, you know, starting off well, but not getting any help from his teammates, you know, with those drops that I mentioned, and then sort of turning into bad Jimmy Garoppolo later in the game. He had an interception nearly on the goal line on a play when George Kittle sort of made something out of nothing, a little bit of a scramble drill, was open for a second, but by the time Garoppolo, I don't know, he saw him, and then by the time he actually made the decision to throw the ball, the defensive back had jumped the pass and made an interception on that. So not your ideal situation that you want. Adrian Amos was able to jump in front of that and get it, and he had a handful of other passes in the second half where it looked like he was definitely trying to give the game away to the Packers. These outside number throws that he struggles with under the best of circumstances, and this was not, with the way it was snowing and with his thumb injury and his shoulder injury and yada yada, all the things that were going on, it didn't seem like an opportune time for him to be trying to make these quick cutting outside the numbers throws that are not usually his forte anyway. Almost put himself in harm's way in a lot of different circumstances, but somehow the special teams unit came up big late in the fourth quarter as the Niners, Jordan Willis, who was unsure whether or not he was going to play this game with a high ankle sprain, blocks the punt from inside the 10, the Packers' own 10-yard line. The ball floats up in the air, and it seems like it's hanging up there for a long time. Of course, it's snowing. Nobody can find the ball. And it lands on the 6-yard line with a slew of 49ers standing right in front of it. And rookie safety Talanoa Hufanga picks it up, scoops up the ball, and runs in for the game-tying score. And suddenly, a game where you're just thinking, man, is this how we're going to go out? Like, after how weird the season has been, we're just going to sort of like whimper out, like, okay, well, that wasn't any fun. What a way to go, I guess. And all of a sudden, it's tied. And the Packers get the ball back. At that particular point, after the 49ers touchdown and are forced to punt after going negative 6 yards on the ensuing play. So now there's, about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes left to go in the contest. The Packers punt the ball back to the 49ers, who know that the game is tied. And the only thing that I'm thinking at this point is this game ends in one of two ways at this point. It must end with a 49ers field goal attempt. And so either they make it and they win, or they miss it and we go to overtime and we figure that out later. So they run two plays, George Kittle, 12 yards on first down, and then the ensuing first down, 4 yards for Elijah Mitchell. And now it's the 2 minute warning, 2nd and 6. Garoppolo finds Deebo Samuel for 14 yards, and then Samuel runs on the next play for 3 yards. Green Bay calls a timeout, 1 minute, 10 seconds left to go, but the Niners are in pretty good shape at the Green Bay 41. They don't have a lot of yards left to gain to get in field goal range. They try Samuel up the middle from the 38-yard line on 2nd and 7. Nothing. No gain. And then the Green Bay uses their last timeout with 1:03 left. Niners come back out in the field. They come to look at what the play, they look at what the defense is. And apparently at that point, Kyle Shanahan decides that he needs to make a change. So he said that he had called a pass play. It was 3rd and 7 from Green Bay 38 with 1:03 left to go in the game. Green Bay now has no timeouts left, but 1:03 is probably not enough time under those circumstances to really draw things out. So he knows a pass play probably is a little bit trouble, because if it's incomplete, you maybe only lose 5 or 6 seconds off the clock. Maybe you get a chance to still take the field goal from there. It's not ideal. It's not what you want under the circumstances. So he decides that the best thing to do is to go ahead and take a shot at it. So he hands the ball off to the tried and true Deebo Samuel on 3rd and 7, hands the ball off to him on the right end. He runs 9 yards to pick up a first down, and the Packers can't stop the clock. And then they're now able to run the ball to run the clock down. The next play starts at the 22nd mark. Elijah Mitchell just kind of runs a yard to set up the positioning of the ball. They call a timeout. They hand the ball off to Juszczyk on 2nd down for another yard, call a timeout at 4 seconds, and then Robbie Gould comes out and kicks the game winner, and the Niners are going to the NFC Championship game. So insane stuff, like not what you would have expected at all by any stretch of the imagination. This is definitely not a circumstance where you're going, hey, you know how I think this is going to end? That is definitely not what I would have thought. If you had said, how is this going to go? There were a lot of different ways that I could have seen this going, for sure. But this sort of low scoring, you know, knock them out kind of game was not even a little bit what I was thinking was going to be the way this was going to play out, but it did. And you know, the Niners offense wasn't great. You know, they only threw for 106 total yards after sacks adjustments. They ran for 106 yards on 29 carries, which is just 3.7 yards per carry. The offense didn't score a touchdown the whole game. The only touchdown of the game scored by either offense was the first drive of the game by the Packers, and the Packers didn't really do a whole lot from there. Aaron Rodgers was pretty good, but really faltered at the end. He ended up 20 for 29 for 225 yards, but he was sacked 5 times for 29 yards. So ended up with total net of just 196 yards passing on the day. Garoppolo struggled again. He had some things going against him with some players dropping the ball early in the game. When he was making good throws, and then he was making some more suspect throws later in the game, but finished 11-19, 131 yards in that aforementioned interception, and was sacked 4 times. But the Packers didn't run the ball well at all. 20 carries, 67 yards. That's just 3.4 yards per carry. And by and large, it was a game, a type of game that was always going to come down to some little thing that's going to happen. You never expect that your special teams is going to win you a game. But when you're dealing with a team that has struggled so much on special teams like the Packers have this year, it feels like it came down to that. And the Packers, in spite winning 13 games on the season and going 8-0 at home during the regular season and pretty much waltzing through the NFC North division as they have much throughout much of Aaron Rodgers' tenure there, are left going home as the number one seed in the NFC, just like the Titans did, the NFC or the AFC's number one seed. So both number one seeds go down at the same time. The Chiefs take down the Bills, and the Rams beat the Buccaneers, leaving us the championship games for each conference. Cincinnati and Kansas City will play at 3 o'clock Eastern on CBS on Sunday, and then the Niners travel to SoFi, otherwise known as Levi Stadium South, to take on the Rams for the third time this season at 6:30 Eastern on Fox. And so, exciting, crazy stuff. Frankly, it's hard to talk about this game in a lot of ways, but this was a game that didn't feel like either team was gonna find a way to win. But it felt like for most of it that even though the Niners were dominating the Packers in a lot of cases from the defensive side of the ball, you know, after that first drive they made it pretty hard on Aaron Rodgers, and especially in the second half, to do anything. But the Niners offense wasn't doing anything at all most of the game. But when it came down to it, and this is the weirdest thing to say, the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo and their offense did what they needed to do. You know, they got some help from their special teams unit, which was able to tie the game. But when it came down to it, when they had the ball with 3 minutes and 20 seconds left in the game, the game is tied. And the best thing that they need to do is get, you know, what, 50 yards or whatever it was that they needed to gain, and score. And you know what? They did. And it's crazy to think that, but that is what they needed to do, and that is what they did. And it wasn't pretty. It was barely unwatchable. It was barely watchable, sorry, at times. But I'll take it. And it'll be a completely different game when they head to take on the Rams next week. Yeah, big props to the 49ers special teams, big props to the 49ers defense, especially the pass rush, which was excellent. DJ Jones, Eric Armstead, Nick Bosa, Samson Ebukam, all key contributors on defense throughout the game. Yeah, so I'm excited. This is not at all what I would have expected to be talking about. You know, if we went back to whatever week 9 or whatever when they were 3-5 and yeah, they were coming off a win, you're just like, okay, well they ended the skid, but then they fell back into a skid, and it didn't seem like this team was going anywhere. And credit to Kyle Shanahan, credit to the coaching staff for making good decisions. And, you know, we were giving them grief about this whole quarterback situation throughout the year, but, you know, it turned out that maybe they made the right decision. We don't know. Who knows? Trey Lance could have been the difference in some of the games that they lost, and he could have, you know, lost a couple of games that they won because of his inexperience. It could have all ended up the same. You know, maybe Trey Lance still leads them to 10 wins and they still get to the playoffs and they still have a fighter's chance at that point, but who's to say? But what we do know is that this team is going to the NFC Championship game, and while I think a lot of people heading into the year would not have been terribly surprised that the 49ers were among the final four teams in the playoffs this year, I think the way they got there is certainly surprising. The fact that they were the third team in from their own division, the fact that they had to win their final game of the year in order to get into the playoffs at all. You know, I called from the beginning that I thought that week 18 game against the Rams was going to be huge, but I was thinking more like, oh, they're tied heading into the game and it's going to be the tiebreaker for who's going to win the NFC West. it wasn't at all. You know, the Rams ended up winning the NFC West, even though they lost to the Niners, who needed the game to get into the playoffs. It's just wild. And now here they are again, facing off against each other, and the Niners will hope that lightning can strike for a third time as they head into SoFi Stadium on Sunday afternoon or evening, depending on where you happen to be. Now, I think it's important as we move into to talking about this to note that there were some players during the game who during the playoff game against the Packers who had some injury concerns for sure. In terms of moving forward, there was of particular note were Trent Williams, George Kittle, who was kind of struggling a little bit towards the end, and Deebo Samuel, who had an issue when he kind of got on that last run that kind of set up the game winner. He had to come off the field. Trent Williams ankle injury. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a long-term thing. It seems like he's going to be okay. He did not practice on Wednesday as we record this, but he seems to be... obviously, unless he's physically unable to go, I would fully expect that Trent Williams will be playing. Deebo Samuel not on the injury list, so that's good. Nor is George Kittle. Jimmy Garoppolo has been downgraded from just... from the thumb and the shoulder to just the thumb. That was expected. This was going to be a problem for the rest of the year, but he's practicing fully. Rookie cornerback Ambry Thomas back in limited practice on Wednesday as he sat out on Saturday with a knee injury. And then Elijah Mitchell didn't practice on Wednesday, but it appears to be sort of a precautionary, like this is just the kind of thing that they've done to kind of help him take care of that knee that kept him out of a couple of games earlier in the season. So hopefully he'll be good to go. Jeff Wilson Jr. Also having an ankle issue that kept him out of practice on Wednesday, but hoping that everybody will be good to go. By and large, it seems like, as we talked about with Peter last time, this team's in pretty good health, all things considering. Obviously, there are people that have been out throughout the year, Raheem Mostert, Jason Verrett, players like that, who've been out on the long term, but we'll see what happens. I think Mitchell and Wilson and Williams and Thomas and Garoppolo and of course Kittle and Samuel will be all good to go. On the Rams side of it, as far as Wednesday is concerned, did not practice Joe Noteboom, the offensive lineman, Greg Gaines, the defensive lineman, and Van Jefferson, the wide receiver. Limited practice for running back Buddy Howell, safety Taylor Rapp, who's in the concussion protocol, and Andrew Whitworth with a knee issue. Now, of course, the notable thing there is that Whitworth, who I don't believe played against the Buccaneers in their divisional matchup, his Noteboom is another offensive lineman that could fill in that spot. And if both of them are unable to go, that could be problematic. So we'll see how that goes for the Rams. That would be good news for the 49ers, but you don't want to win because somebody is injured by any stretch of the imagination. But look, there's not a whole lot to say about this matchup between these two teams that has not already been said. These are two coaches that know each other very well. They've worked together. They're friends. They know each other well. They played each other quite frequently over the last 5 years. Shanahan has had McVay's number over the last 3 years. The 49ers have beaten the Rams 6 times in a row, dating back for the last 3 seasons. So 3 straight sweeps. And now they go for the three-peat for the 2021 season. You know, it's only the most important game of the year because it's the winner goes to the Super Bowl, the loser goes home. But here's the thing. Shanahan has shown the ability to win a game with all these crazy circumstances. You know, he won with Nick Mullins as his quarterback. He has won with bad games from his defense, from his offense, and he still managed to find a way to do things. And they've had their backs up against the wall both times that they played the Rams this year. You know, you go back to week 10, that Monday Night Football game, everybody's talking about, you know, the Niners have no chance. They are being strung along. This Rams team is just going to pound the floor at them. And it was the exact opposite at Levi Stadium that night. The Niners came out and really just walloped into the Rams. You know, a couple of early interceptions from Matthew Stafford led to a quick for the Niners getting out to a quick lead, and they never really relinquished it, and ended up winning 31-10. And then the Week 18 game was also a massive must win kind of game. You know, they had to win or they probably weren't going to get into the playoffs. It was becoming very clear that the Falcons were not going to help them out at all. And they got down 17-0 and they scratched and clawed their way back into the game and ended up winning in an overtime. And then, of course, Ambry Thomas with that famous, you know, butt cheek interception to seal it. And look, this team has won just about every way that you can this year. They've had blowout wins like they had early on in the season in week one against the Lions. They've had comeback victories several times. They've had a couple of games where they've run out to leads and they've managed to hold on like they did against Dallas. And then they've had these sort of like ugly, you know, scratch and claw games like the one last week against the Packers. So look, if anything, I think this team has shown that they have the ability to win any way that you want. And really it just comes down to, can Jimmy Garoppolo continue to be the player that he has been in these matchups against the Rams? He's been really good when he's gotten the opportunity to play the Rams during his career in San Francisco. And he needs to be that sort of anywhere from you know, good Jimmy is great. Like, if that's who he is the whole game, then I think we're in good shape. Even if he's Jimmy who doesn't have to do that much because the running game is really working and then occasionally makes a good throw, we're in good shape. I am a little concerned because there has been a lot more prevalent sightings of bad Jimmy of late. It hasn't been full games of bad Jimmy of recently, really outside of, I think, since the Tennessee game when he hurt himself, when he hurt that thumb in Nashville. That was a game where by and large he was not on his game, and you know, it could have been related to the injury that happened, whatever that might be. But you know, Trey Lance ended up playing the next week against the Texans, and all well and good, but Garoppolo has been sort of up and down throughout the game, which is not something we see too frequently from him. And so it's really notable how much that has happened. You know, even on Saturday against the Packers, like I said, he was looking pretty good in the first half. Some of his receivers were letting him down, dropping some balls, but he was making good throws when he needed to make good throws. The second half, that went completely out the window, and yet somehow they managed to get to get the win anyway. You know, in Dallas, it was complete opposite. He was really good in the first half, and it was a little very much the same, actually, I should say. He was really good in the first half. They were able to jump out to the lead, and then he just sort of fell apart in the second half. Again, there's some speculation that that's when the shoulder injury kind of came in and was starting to rear its ugly head a little bit more. But he almost gave that game up with that late interception. And granted, other problems were persisting, and I don't want this to sound like it's a Jimmy Garoppolo pile-on type of thing, because it's not. But it is going to come down to that. Like, I feel pretty confident in what D'Amico Ryans is doing as a defensive coordinator at this point, and in that defensive line, and the depth that it has, and its ability to create pressure with just four rushers, and then the creativity that Ryans is using to create four rushers in ways that teams don't expect. We're seeing a lot of that, where it's not just the four down linemen, but it might be three down linemen and then, you know, a safety or something like that, some creative blitz that's not actually a blitz because it's still just four, and very interesting things that he's doing. And I feel confident in that, and I feel confident that that's going to be good enough to help the cornerbacks, who actually, you know, by and large, looked pretty good on Saturday against the Packers. But this is a different animal. The Packers are kind of a one-man show in the receiving game. The Rams are not so much, and so they're going to have to pay attention to not only Cooper Kupp, but also Odell Beckham and other players like that. Van Jefferson, as noted, although he didn't practice on Wednesday, so we'll see how that goes. But they've got some good players, Tyler Higbee at the tight end position, and their skill players are pretty good in that regard. And so it's all going to be about the pressure, and I feel confident about that from the defensive side for the 49ers. So it's just going to come down to, can they control the ball in the running game like they have continued to do against this Rams team, quite inexplicably, because generally speaking, Rams team is pretty good against the run. And then can they control the middle of the field with Garoppolo passes, and can he control the urge to try to do more than he needs to do, which kind of seems what has been happening in some of these plays, you know, the interception against the Cowboys, the interception against the Packers, these kinds of plays that have created difficulty for his team have been situations in both cases where it's just like, maybe the best move there is throw the ball away. Maybe the best move there is see if you can, you know, kind of slide away and get to maybe pick up a yard or two on the ground and leave it alone. But he's forcing things that he doesn't need to, and he's trying to make something out of nothing, which is just generally not his forte. So if we can get good Jimmy, or at least safe, careful Jimmy, I feel pretty good about this. So I guess when you think about why the 49ers win and why the 49ers lose, that's really what it comes down to. They win if Garoppolo is solid to good, or at least safe and careful, and the running game is able to do what it needs to do. They lose if those things don't happen, because I feel confident enough in what the defense is able to do against this Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford-led offense. But the wild card is, what are we going to get from the quarterback play? And if Garoppolo continues to do what he's been able to do throughout the course of, you know, his career over the last couple of years against this team, then I feel like it's going to be okay. If not, it could be an ugly one. It's that has the potential, but I don't think it's going to get to that point. I think this is going to be a good, solid game. I think the 49ers faithful are going to show out well at SoFi Stadium, in spite of the Rams' attempts to keep them away, and I look forward to a good game. So, with that in mind, as we look forward to this NFC Championship game that really nobody saw coming after about week 6 or 7, what do we think? Are the Niners going to the Super Bowl? Well, I'm going to maintain my bullish opinion on this team that has just gone all over the map. They've just been crazy. I can't believe it that they're here, and the getting here, it all feels like found money. The moment they got into the playoffs after the way they started the season felt like, this is great. Like, this is a great opportunity. Even if it doesn't end up in a Super Bowl, it's going to be fine, you know? And yet here we are, on the doorstep. And I don't know what this means for the future of the team, and we can talk more about that later. And I kind of wish Peter were here so that I could ask him that question. What does this mean for the future of the team that they got this far, specifically at the quarterback position? My short opinion of it is that it doesn't change anything. Just maybe the compensation that they might be able to get, but that might be good. I'm gonna maintain. So I think the Niners are gonna win it. I think it's gonna be close, and I think because that's how we've been doing this. I think it's a back and forth affair. I think it might be a little high scoring. So I'm gonna go. The Niners are gonna win this one, 34 to 28. And they're gonna get a victory and go to the Super Bowl. I don't know who they're gonna face. I think the Chiefs are probably gonna win that game. I would really like to see the Bengals win that game, mostly because I'm kind of tired of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Although there would be some sort of sweetness to getting the Chiefs again and having a chance to try to take them down in what could literally be Jimmy Garoppolo's last game. What a way to go out, by the way. What a way to go out. Anyway, 31-28 Niners. Looking forward to it. Sunday night, we got this. All right. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Niner Noise Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. As always, please check out NinerNoise.com for all your latest 49ers news and analysis. And be sure to rate and subscribe to that podcast wherever you listen. We truly appreciate both ratings and subscriptions, as they kind of just help us to know how we're doing. And please leave us a review and include a question, and we'll give you a shout out on air and answer your question. And of course, please share the podcast with all your fellow 49er fan friends. So until next time, let's sound the horn, 49ers.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.